ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. It's the month of February. It's the month when we will celebrate Shivaratri, the beautiful festival of sacrifice, the beautiful festival of the union of creation with the Creator, the beautiful sacrifice of every individual soul to attain the Supreme Self, the beautiful festival which will reverberate non-stop with the glory of the Infinite. Every time you celebrate these festivals, you're always reminded of what Bhagwan used to caution us. You're all the time reminded of how this festival should become another step in our journey to Him. And you're all the time reminded how the only purpose of every ritual, every celebration is to experience that love and to disseminate that love and to dissolve into that love. And Prashantinilayam is full of such exemplary souls who have shown us the pathway of how to march in this journey. Prashantinilayam is Prashantinilayam not only because of love deciding to incarnate in this little hamlet, it is also because love recreating so many lives in this sacred space. It is because what love can do to every soul, and the way we find our way is to search for these pathways to love and to show us pointers, to give us guidance, are these pathways created by so many beautiful souls, be it Professor Kasturi, be it Mrs. Ratanlal, be it Mr. Rama Brahmam, be it Mr. Kutum Rao, be it Mr. B.V. Raman Rao, whose story we are doing now. For so many episodes now, we have been dwelling on the life of Mr. B.V. Raman Rao, who right from the 60s was Bhagwan's chosen one to lead the Sevadal movement in the Satya Sai Seva organization. In the previous episode, I mentioned how it was because of his initiative that the Seva movement did not get restricted to a particular age. Swami said, whoever has energy, whoever has the heart to serve is a Sevadal, and that is how it remained till the end. And Mr. Raman Rao, till he was 90, continued to serve in different capacities and lead and guide and bolster the Satya Sai movement in ways which seem so idealistic, but he lived that life. Today, I want to take you through some of the poignant moments of his life. I want to share with you how it was for him when Bhagwan left his physical form, and how it was for him as he walked into the sunset. But before that, let me play for you some clips of the conversation that I had with his son, Mr. B.V. Sagar, who also had the opportunity to become a student in Bhagwan's university. And over this conversation, Mr. Sagar shares his father's final moments. He shares some very salient facets of Mr. Raman Rao's personality. Why does he think that Swami loved this chosen servitor so much? What is it that he saw in his father that others probably did not have such a clear picture of? And what is it that if we can emulate in our lives, we too would become the chosen ones? The beautiful Christmas carol goes, "Oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in, how I long to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. And when they crown, and when they crown, and when they crown him King of Kings, how I long to be in that number, when the saints go marching in." How can we also become part of the entourage of Bhagwan's messengers of love? How can we too become sparks of his love to disseminate his glory? How we too can sanctify our lives and find the true purpose of our existence? When we listen to stories of the sacred souls, we derive inspiration, we derive courage, we derive guidance, we derive the required clues to make our moves in the sacred direction. So let me begin by playing for you some clips of the conversation that I had with Mr. Sagar. And in this, I begin by sharing with Mr. Sagar a few things that Mr. Sagar didn't know, but we in Prashanthi Nilayam were aware of it because of how silently Mr. Raman Rao works. But his contributions are so phenomenal.
I'll just share with you two, three things which I also discovered recently. And it really was such a huge revelation for me. You know, we were doing some conversations about the Sai Symphony, which was staged on Bhagwan's 90th birthday as the grand finale of the celebration. And you had 126 musicians from 16 countries. It was a huge effort. And the music was composed by one Mr. Mike Herting, who was completely new to Swami, a German composer of international repute. And when he undertook this task, he made few visits to Prashanthi Nilayam to understand Swami and his philosophy and his life. And when he started speaking to some of the senior devotees, one of them he spoke to was Mr. Raman Rao. And his ideas about Swami got crystallized because of the dialogue that he had with Raman Rao sir. He had long conversations with sir, and he went back with clarity of thought about what is Swami, who is Swami, what is his mission. And that's when, after that, he started composing this music. I mean, no one has any clue that one of the pillars for the music taking shape in Mike Herting's mind was the dialogue that he had with him in the little room in Prashanthi Nilayam.
So that was something which we also came to know much later, that in fact it was Raman Rao sir who was behind the 90th birthday music festival. And that Sai Symphony was so breathtaking it was such a grand offering. But when we came to know of this, that's when we realized how silently and solidly Bhagwan's messengers work. Let me play for you a little clip of that symphony. Probably many of you have heard this Sai Symphony. We have had conversations with many artists who were part of this grand music festival. But just to give you a glimpse of this symphony, here is a 2 minute of the Sai Symphony. So that was the Sai Symphony, and when you come to think of it, it was Raman Rao sir who inspired and enabled Mike Herting, the composer of this grand music festival, to get a clear idea about what Swami is, what is Swami's life, how one should try and put that into music. Similarly, there are so many such silent contributions of Mr. Raman Rao. And in today's conversation, we will listen to more such anecdotes and which Mr. Sagar has shared. So let's go back to the conversation with Mr. Sagar.
Similarly, Mr. Prakash Rao. Everyone knows Mr. Prakash Rao, especially in Andhra Pradesh, for his amazing contribution when it comes to songs, dramas and scripts. And I was talking to him. He said that, you know, he was always a man of literature to some extent, always. And he knew Raman Rao sir even before sir became a devotee because of his literary work. So he had respect for him as a great story writer. And after he became a devotee, it was Raman Rao sir who channelized his efforts. It was he who set his path right. We have seen so many of his dramas becoming hugely popular and dramas which Swami loved so much. Where Swami said, this has to be staged in every corner of the country. You know, Swami even gave money one day and told, please stage it everywhere in the Jagrati drama, yes. Amma drama, so many dramas. And whenever we think about them, you know, we think about Prakash Rao sir, because definitely he's contributed in making it. But only recently he revealed that even the Jagrati drama, when he did the storyline, he brought it to Raman Rao sir, and only when taking sir's input he wrote the thing. He was not used to writing these kind of stories. And never I have heard anyone mention that also. Or Raman Rao sir, you know, trying to take credit for, you know, if that man is what he is today, it's because of how I guided him. You know, it is like he would have done like that for millions, I think. That is the reason that everybody feels their loss. Yes. He would have guided so many people and just did it for Swami.
Yes.
He never wanted anything from it.
For him, ultimate aim is Swami. he looked at every aspect of such act of service to be dedicated to Swami. For him, another aspect which is very close to his heart is the Narayan Seva. Like, probably that's where this connect came. I feel I keep looking at my, you know, some of us keep talking about in amongst ourselves saying, why Swami and Father go so close to us? All these factors, like in our houses, if you see, before the last batch of guests complete, he's ready to serve the alcohol drivers inside and, you know, it comes automatically. You know, in fact, there are some of the last batch people would be frowning at us and, but irrespective, he says, no, they're all there. Let's serve them. It comes so naturally to him. First are those people, otherwise the guests will go off and those people will not have their food. That sort of a thought process he has inculcated in all of us. So today when we look at a guest list, the guest list also has a list of people whom we are going to have among the batches. And it comes so beautifully, naturally to him on those. Anytime we are a little flamboyant in our spend on trying to become little, you know, make a big, huge dinner parties and things like that, he would say, this is feeding the overfed. That's a standard statement he'll make. Don't waste money feeding the overfed. Instead, spend that money on Narayan Seva.
Wow.
And I think my son's first birthday or something, when we were trying to do something, he said, give me, you know, 5,000 rupees, he asked me. I just took that 5,000 and gave it to him. And next day and the third day he came and said, I paid in Shivam and they would have conducted Narayan Seva on that day. So, you see, it comes so beautiful. And they all, basically it's an enjoyment of doing it.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, when one of April, May time, I called him and said, why don't you move to Hyderabad because it's so hot?
Yeah.
He said, no, this water service, water tankers are all going to villages. I'm going with them.
Oh.
I said, why are you going? I mean, at 84, 83, so what? The several people, they're all there to take care of all of us. And therefore, he used to accompany the water tankers.
Oh my God.
And when we went back to Parthi to see his hand, if you see, the watch patch is so different that you could make out that how tanned he was in that. He's become thin and, you know, all that. He's radiant and happy and smiling and, you know. And I said, why are you doing this summer? Why do you want to move? It's so, I mean, you can't tell him not to do. So yeah. You have to, you know, plead with him and say, be careful.
Yeah.
Would say, the villagers he was talking about. When villagers receive water, when you will see Swami in their smiles, what else you are looking for? So, I am okay. This is no problem. The villagers take care of me, or Sevadal people take care of me. So, going there, I am enjoying it, he would say. So, speaking about Narayan Seva, we know how much Swami loved it, and you know, there was no function without Narayan Seva being, you know, and earlier people used to say poor feeding and things like that. Swami say, what poor feeding? You are feeding. Feeding is poor. It's not poor feeding. You are not giving enough money, enough food. But that's how he used to chide, and slowly the name he changed it to Narayan Seva. And it's after that, it really became a yajnam by itself.
Yes.
Narayan Seva, now it becomes a true yajnam in true sense. So much so that the 12th day of my father's, we decided it's the only way his soul could be appeased is by conducting Narayan Seva.
Wow.
So we did that both at Prashant Nilayam, and you know, we could do that because it comes, that's how probably they feel appeased. I mean, that is what their selflessness comes, you know, so open on that. They don't have a desires of their own. And so therefore, you know, taking this forward on these aspects are the small ways of serving Swami through serving all this.
In fact, when you talk about service, one thing that struck me is, generally when Bhagwan was there, when someone used to take up his service, there is always this thing that, you know, I will get a namaskar with Bhagwan, or I will get some recognition from Bhagwan. That thing was always there. But he was so clear that for him, serving was the reward.
Yes.
Serving was the reward. He was never looking for anything.
Absolutely.
Out of that, because he just loved to serve, because then that was there even before he came to Bhagwan's fold, and now that he got a mission, a cause, and an expression of his love for Bhagwan, I think he never needed any motivation to serve. But many times you have people who need motivations to serve. That is one. And I think that is the reason why, you know, even after Bhagwan left his physical form, that did not change. Nothing changed in him.
Yes.
When it comes to service or whatever he was doing, he only did it in greater intensity, even though his body energy levels are going down.
Yes.
in some sort. But now he took on responsibilities, doing more. I think never ever mattered to him. The Swami was there in physical form. Now he's not there.
It's a question of faith and belief.
Yes, that was Raman Rao, sir. For him, it did not matter now that Swami is not there in physical form, even though he lived all his life in close proximity of Bhagwan and serving, because serving was something that came so naturally to him, just like breathing. And as Mr. Sagar said, if there was any function at home, he would rather go and serve the poor. If there was any occasion, any spare money, he would rather go and do something for the downtrodden. And I think that is something that always endeared him to Bhagwan. And imagine at 83, 84 also to go out and serve. Summer in Puttaparthi is very hot. It's really hot. And to go out and into the villages and to serve water at that age, you just need that passion. You just need that absolute zeal. You need that devotion where you just feel that I love Swami, so I will serve till my last breath, and I enjoy every moment of it because my Swami lived till the end only serving. Let's listen to how it was for Mr. Raman Rao when Bhagwan left his physical form.
It's a question of faith and belief and ultimately his love for Swami. These are the things which had sustained him post that, and no doubt he was probably very devastated at that moment. I was there with him.
Yes.
That day, and he just didn't know what was happening at 2 o'clock in the night. Suddenly he said, let's go once again.
Mm-hmm.
So we went into the mandir, sat there. Again he said, let's go, I can't sit here. Again we went back to the room. After half an hour he said, let's go and sit in the... When Swami was there in the mandir, I think 5-6 times we went up and down. You could see the restlessness in him, and he was wondering what's happening and things like that. Probably, and then when people started looking to him and saying, now what, sort of a question mark, and he probably rallied himself properly, and then he started saying, no, Swami is with us, and move forward. Because as an individual, he has lost a real, real personal touch.
Yeah.
For him, Swami in any form, anywhere, somewhere in the corner, he's happy to see him and be very, very happy. So much so the other day in one of those people who had come and was telling me, you know, sir, we always look for Mr. Raman Rao, not for Swami, because when Mr. Raman Rao is around, he'll slowly direct Swami to all those corners where we all sit very far, and to Swami to sprinkle, all that tirtham and all that. I mean, that is the selflessness. It comes.
Yes.
And one dasara it so happened that Swami completed all that. Behind the boys, he went round and completed. He did not go further down onto that east corner, And they were all saying, Swami, 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 and Swami slowly walked back. My father was there with that vessel and, walking. Then he was saying, Swami, 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 just walked to the end of the veranda and, just stood. Then father asked, Swami, akalakka poyile, you go and do it.
Hmm.
He took it, and because he went to the corner and he sprinkled on all those people saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, and Swami was standing in this corner watching. So, it comes so naturally to both of them to reach out to people, to, both of them, in sense, I can't put my father on the pedestal of that, but then the bigger, the sun and the candle sort of a situation, it is the same, thought process prevails, so therefore the connect is so great with him. So these are the things which have proved over a period of time that being the service oriented truly and very genuinely, and rendering what Swami wanted people to be doing it as a seva members is how he had reflected himself there.
So that is how it was for him. Yes, he was disturbed when Bhagwan left his physical form. As Mr. Sagar said, he kept going to the mandir, looking at Bhagwan's physical frame placed in the hall. But when people asked him, he said, no, Swami is with us, we have to move forward. And if you see, that is how he was after Bhagwan left his physical form. We have to move forward, we have to move forward. And he was only talking about how we can take this mission to greater heights. And it is so touching when you hear people say that during darshan times, they used to look to Raman Rao, because I have personally seen so many occasions when he would plead with Swami, Swami, devotees are in this corner, devotees are in that corner, please come that side too. And Swami would oblige. And this happened very rarely. Of course, very few people had that guts to suggest to Swami what to do. But Swami acceding to such requests, I think it was just the purity of the soul that made such blessings happen. The pure love of one soul can grant grace to thousands. And that is what we saw in the life of Mr. Raman Rao. Because Swami loved to serve, and when he saw someone whose heart is with the devotees, Swami all the time listened to what he wanted. Because he knew that this man here has nothing within him which is for himself. If he asks something, it is only for others, and it comes with no agendas. It comes with that purity, it comes with that selflessness, it comes with that universal love. And that is the reason probably why Bhagwan all the time acceded to his request. Bhagwan was all ears for what he had to say during any celebration. I went on and I asked Mr. Sagar about the final moments of Mr. Raman Rao himself, because not many know about his final journey. It was seemingly difficult, but only Swami knows and Raman Rao sir knows what was happening between them in those last few months and years. Mr. Sagar shares what he saw of what was happening, but it is for us to contemplate on how we should prepare ourselves for our final journey. And even when there are troubles, even when there are challenges, even when there are seemingly difficult obstacles, how even in those moments we can utilize what Bhagwan has given us only to sanctify our lives. It was not an easy Passover for Mr. Raman Rao, but the way he handled it is something that we all can take inspiration from. So let's listen to Mr. Sagar.
Just two, three more things. How were his last moments? Because for many others, they're thinking, oh, Papam sir is undergoing so much suffering, and you know, how is he coping up with it?
Well, in 2014 November, when first it was diagnosed that he had the cancer in the throat, there was one doctor who had come visited from UK. He was there in rendering the service in the hospital. So he said, no, I can't tell him, maybe he'll be a little, probably he'll feel hurt, so he wanted us to come. So we immediately, my brother and me, we went there, we met him, and my father said, no, I'll also come, let's hear him out. So we went, and that man was a little nervous to say, and he said, no, what are the prognosis, what are we going to do, and what do you recommend, what do you suggest? he was talking as if he was talking about someone else, you know. So that man took heart in it, and then he said, okay, don't go for chemo, go for radiation, don't, and blah, blah. And all that, and said, then he, that man was, he was very surprised that he could take it so well, and he came for a service in the hospital, so that's how he was associated. The gentleman is from UK, the doctor. So, my father was happy that a UK doctor coming and serving. So, he was praising him, saying, your service is so great, you are good. That man is saying, sir, your throat, we are talking about. He said, I'm okay, I'll see you next birthday. He shakes hands with him and comes off. And he came back with so much of confidence that Swami will take care of everything, so I don't have to worry. And he came to Hyderabad, and he had undergone radiation. And no doubt, physically it was painful, and he had endured. His pain threshold is very, very high, and over and above that, his faith in Swami is much higher. So, probably all this together, he could endure the suffering on that. Post that, you know, in that February that year, we had my son's wedding, and we were asking Father. I said, we'll go ahead. No problem. And by then, believe me, his voice is totally down. He could not speak and things like that. But then he had participated in all those things without giving a whimper of, you know, any of those, and, you know, let the whole marriage spirit continue. And everyone came to greet him. As I told you, he himself is a celebrity for us in our family circles and all those circles. So everyone was looking to him, and he never showed a simple, small inconvenience that he had, never ever carried it on his sleeve. That is one phenomenal thing. And post that, over a period of time, probably fortunately it's improved. His voice came back. And then there he is one day saying, I'm going to US. And for almost 8 weeks he went to US.
Wow.
And there he doesn't sit. And with those people with whom we went, and he, Mr. Pai, who was a devotee of Swami, I mean, he has taken him. So he goes there, and then from there he goes to all the samitis and talks about Swami. Supposed to be giving the voice rest. Doctors advise his voice rest. He says, talking about Swami is the best rest you can get. You can't beat such a, you know, attitude. So he went around, and subsequently, over a period of time, as it was diagnosed, it again came back, and then he had to go for the second level of radiation once again after a year. That happened in 2016, March, April time, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So that has happened, and there also he managed. I mean, again, he went back to Parthi. Whenever he comes, he's coming and saying, by so-and-so date, I had to go back. And last time when he came on November 15th saying, I'll come back, there's a tube that he had to insert into the intestines for feeding, because his swallowing became harder, very difficult for him to swallow. And then he says, I'll come back, I'll finish. He was asking the doctor, will it happen 15 days, because I'd get back to Parthi for birthday. I mean, he physically, mentally, everywhere he lives in Parthi. But that sort of a thing. So that, unfortunately, you know, slowly one leading to the other, and over a period of time. But he held himself to a large extent much, much better. Only towards the last, you know, maybe a couple of weeks that the voice has totally gone, and, you know, his own physical limitations were showing up in terms of, you know, probably failing organs in terms of. But otherwise, in terms of almost a week, probably he was not with us, and slowly he drifted into the, merged into the Swami or one of those. But then, till such time, he was very conscious. Before that, a week before that, same Mr. Pai came. So, on some discussion, Mr. Pai brought one of the letters Swami has written to Hyderabad Seva, about Seva organization and things like that. So, he was reading it aloud, and my father was enjoying Swami's this thing. That which year they had in the discussion, which year they did not know, either 63 or 64. You're saying 64.
Wow.
So, you know, for him, everything was in terms of Swami, and he was conscious to that extent from, you know, physically, probably it failed later, and it moved into end situation.
Swami and discussions about Swami, seva about Swami can keep him alive.
Yeah, it always
he became
can.
Alive all the time.
In fact, every day, morning and evening, you know, they used to, my brother's house, they used to put the thing and, you know, live broadcast. is there. Probably he closes his ears and eyes and he keeps on hearing the Vedam chant, bhajans.
Wow.
And Shivratri, we had a whole day Shivratri program. He was feeling bad that he was missing out the Shivratri.
Mm.
See, all these come very, Swami also accepted his likes and dislikes. You know, he probably never put himself into a great devotion by, you know, doing all this religious fervor. Never there. He is not a person giving into, you know, lot of rituals. It's not there for him. For him, spirituality is service.
Yes.
Therefore, the religion, in fact, one of the, is written in this book that Swami took out the Shivalingam of one Shivratri,
yes,
and he, out of all people, he gives it to him. He says, no, I don't want. Who could ever say no to Swami? And that too a Shivalingam. He says, no, I can't do all this puja, Swami, not for me. Swami accepts. I mean, in fact, he accepts that. That's the best part there. No, it's okay. Just 3 drops of water, saying Namah Shivaya, that is enough. Swami, you know, reduces the whole puja, you know, performance to that level for him. He says, I accept even that. So do that. Then comes, you know, naturally all those other factors come in. So that's how it is, you know, that relationship. Probably he himself got pampered by Swami to that extent, accepting his own limitations and, you know.
I think because there was no inhibition. It's just like two best friends.
No.
So you can always express.
Yeah, that is a great good fortune from that point of view. And he, if he has lived like that with Swami, he could do it. And see, the number of letters Swami has written to, in that, all those Swami would talk about service, what has to be done to so and so, what. Service, and so many letters, and all of them my father very proudly, you know, put them in an album, and, you know, used to cherish each of those. This time Swami wrote, at that time, this is instruction he gave, this is what he has told. Go and give this prasadam to so and so, tell them Swami is there with them. See, becoming a messenger of God, right, from for him,
yes,
itself is the greatest thing that anyone could evolve into, I
yes,
would say.
Absolutely.
And a person who never believed in that of a spiritual activities and moving to that level of spiritual evolution is something, a grace of God and grace of Swami.
Amen.
So becoming a messenger of the Lord, that is the greatest thing that anyone can evolve into, being a servitor of the Lord, being a channel of His love, and that is how the life of Mr. Raman Rao panned out to be. And if you look at his last moments, as narrated by Mr. Sagar, you know, even when the doctor was giving his diagnosis, he is so normal about it. He's so chilled out, as they say. He's so open to anything. He is not afraid about what the prognosis could be. And, you know, when the doctor says that, you know, let your relatives come, he says, no, I will come. What is it? You tell me the doc, tell me what you want. And the most interesting thing to me is, you know, even as the doctor is checking on him and asking about his throat, he's asking the doctor, oh, where do you work, so, and what is your qualification, and what experience you have, and from where have you come, and how long have you been coming to Prashantinilayam? And he's so happy that he's coming from UK, and he said, so for him the greatest joy even at that moment is some doctor, you know, who is qualified, who is coming all the way from UK to serve in my hospital, in Swami's hospital. That is what is giving him so much joy. You know, even in that moment of adversity, you are only thinking of the glory of the Almighty. You are only thinking about how these institutions run by Swami can become better. And you are so happy that the institution has attracted someone so qualified to serve. That is the perspective of someone who constantly was thinking about Swami, his mission. The doctor is saying, no, we need to talk about your throat. And he's telling, no, I am so happy that you have come all the way. And let's talk about how was your experience of serving in Prashantinilayam, in Swami's hospital. And he undergoes radiation. As Mr. Sagar said, even if it was painful, you know, he didn't really feel it so much because, you know, more than the pain threshold, he had the divine threshold. He had that mind that was all the time focused on Swami, that whatever happened to the body was just a matter of procedure and a matter of circumstance, which he was not so much affected with, because ultimately your mind is in Bhagwan. And he says, yeah, nothing need to be stopped. His son's, his grandson's wedding had to go on. His son says, can we do it? He says, please go ahead. And he never allowed anyone to know about his condition. People came for the marriage. He acted as if everything is normal. And he was the same jovial person, inspiring others, cracking jokes. And he was the same person. He never ever wanted people to shower pity on him or people to empathize with his pain, because he always felt he should be there for the other. He did not want to be served. He only wanted to serve. And that is the reason why even till the last moment he never went and stayed in his children's home. He went for any treatment and he would come back and stay in Parthi, because he felt if he's in Parthi, he can serve. He can go out and, you know, go with the water tankers, go and guide here, do something for the ashram, become, look after the Sanatan Sarathi. I mean, that is always the focus. What can I do? Not what others can do for me. And it was in this spirit that, look at his zeal. He had lost his voice, and when his voice came back, he decided to go to US. And for 8 weeks, he was in the US giving talks in various centers. At a time when the doctor said, your voice need rest. Your voice now has just come back, and he had a radiation therapy on his voice. And now the doctor is saying, you need to give your rest. And look at what he says. He says, talking about Swami is the best rest that I can give to my voice. And it reminds me of Professor Kasturi, who even when he had a back problem, Swami would say, you go and give talks, and so that is your medicine for you. And it was the same, you know, for him to serve. To serve was the medicine for Mr. Raman Rao. And he went to so many centers. And it was Swami's grace that, you know, he could endure at that age. He was probably 88 then. At that age, to decide to go to the US, and you're just recovered from cancer, your voice has just come back, and you decide to go to the US and you talk about Swami and you say, nothing is going to happen to me because I am doing Swami's work. Now, that is the zeal of a servitor of the Lord. And for him, you know, okay, you want some procedure to be done, please get it done. But for me, Swami is my doctor. Swami will look after me. If I am doing his work, he will definitely look after me. And that is how you go through what you have to go through. But Swami fills you with that energy. Swami does everything to see that your life becomes a channel of his love. And that is how, that gave him so much satisfaction to be in the US and talk about Swami, inspire the people there about working for Bhagwan's mission. And even after he came back and there was, you know, problem with his food pipe, you know, and it was difficult for food, so they had to insert food through an alternative channel. All that was happening, but he was unconcerned. Whatever you feel has to be done for the body, you please do. I'm not coming in the way. But he was with his Swami, and even in those moments, he was constantly thinking about Bhagwan, constantly so excited to know what is happening in Prashantinilayam. So they used to show him the live stream of the Prashantinilayam functions, and that used to always light up a spark in him. And whenever the old devotees, Mr. Pai and others, used to come and talk about the time that they spent with Swami, when you should see the pictures of the trips with Swami, you should see the pictures of the letters that Bhagwan had written, you know. And he would even correct, no, this was not 1963, it was 1964, you know. This is what carried him through. This is what kept him alive. This is what gave him all the strength and energy to still disseminate that positivity. And so what really filled him with energy was these discussions about Swami, discussions about the service that they had done, discussions about how we can do something for the organization. that was the focus of Mr. Raman Rao. And as Mr. Sagar said, towards the last few weeks, Mr. Raman Rao could not speak much because of the medical condition, but that did not bother him at all. He was not complaining. He was just in silence. And perhaps it was a blessing that Bhagavan conferred on him just to cut off from everything around, just become silent and just constantly contemplate on Bhagavan. And I think that is how it happened even with Professor Kasturi, if you think, in the last moments. Swami said there should be absolutely no noise in the room. Swami wanted, even when there was a drop of water in the bathroom, Swami said, put it off. Swami wanted absolute silence. Swami said, that is what Professor Kasturi needs. And in a way, for Raman Rao, sir, it happened such way that, you know, he could not speak anymore. And he did not want also any conversation. He was just there with himself, and only if someone came, he would try to only touch them, bless them. How endearingly he used to always motivate the sevas also. That thing continued now through gestures, but otherwise he was just happy, silent, and just waiting for that moment to become one. And that is how the last few moments of Mr. Raman Rao, even though it seemed that he went through a physical deterioration, his organs started failing, but you see, he was going through a spiritual evolution. Swami has his own journey for each one of us, and it is a journey which will take us closer to him. And if you have served him all your life, he will ensure that in that last moment, whatever you have to go through, it gets completed, so that you go back to him fresh, you go back to him clean, you go back to him to become one, and then exist and come back for the Lord. Come back only if the Lord wants something to be accomplished for the world through you. That is the journey of Mr. Raman Rao. On March 14, 2016, he merged with Bhagavan in an atmosphere of silence and Sai's name. Beside him were so many people who can be given only one appellation, the Sai family. So it was with the members of the Sai family, the Sai Sevadals, with Swami in his heart, and listening to Bhagavan's name, and being with the Sai family, that Mr. Raman Rao merged with his Sai. How fantastic and how glorious the life of every servitor of Bhagavan is. I used to always feel that there are so many such souls, and we miss capturing their lives, we miss listening to their tales, we miss deriving inspiration from them, and it can really change our lives, it can really spur our enthusiasm to become a servitor of Bhagavan, to become a messenger of his love. And so I asked Mr. Sagar if he can share any more memories of Mr. Raman Rao, sir, with Bhagavan, any interviews that Swami gave to them as a family. And he did share a few more instances, which I am so happy to bring it to you.
You have any memories of any interviews with Swami, sir, as a family?
Yes, yes. He, in fact, those days of 60s when we were going, early 70s and 60s, Swami calling was a very natural process for most of the families. And so was with us. And whenever we went, Swami would call the families together with us, either one of the brothers and their families, my father's brothers and families, and all those people used to be there. And all of us together, we used to troop in, Swami used to talk generally. And probably he will talk more to my mother because he had to appease on behalf of my father. So he would say, no, your children will do well, I'll take care of you, I'll take care of the health, I'll take care of you. And these are the things which Swami also plays around, and my father would smile and just stand back and My mother would give her, say, this boy is not studying well, he should study well, this and this. All those things, and Swami would patiently listen.
Swami was like the parent of the house, like the father.
He would patiently listen to him, saying, I'll take care of you, I'll do this, I'll do that. And all smiling and everyone is happy to come back. And he was very gracious. And in fact, I would say, wherever my mother was sitting, he would go there, talk a couple of, any time, you know, just say, you know, or give namaskar wherever possible. So he kept the whole household happy about it. In those days, you could reach Swami just like that. I mean, not so much of a, you know, this thing. So what we used to do is to go to Swami, we used to buy some photographs of outside, go with a pen and stand with there, Swami. Then I say, he'll sign with blessings, Baba, and then every day I used to go with one, and Swami will say, Yenira. Then one fine day my father said, stop this, because you can't, you know, where will you keep all these photos with Swami's, with blessings, Baba, you can't throw them. And Swami's photos, you can't, you know, do anything to them. So he told us, you know, don't do it anymore, don't bring any more photos. Like, that people used to have, and not only this family, but I'm saying the number of those families, those people were, I mean, number of people were less, so it used to happen that way. And subsequently, post that, my grandfather, who was stationed there, so whenever we were there, the whole group, grandfather, grandmother, and a couple of my aunts used to stay there with them, and my mother, father, and whenever we are around, we used to. And the W1B27, Swami came personally, inaugurated the room and handed over the room to them, saying, be here, be happy. That's how, you know, irrespective of what happened, that room he held on.
And that room was very simple. He never got it tiled or anything. It was a very, very simple room.
That's one of the wonders for us, you know, for him, those probably... We have not lived in any mansions, but at least a three-bedroom flat was a common thing that he had lived. And here is a man who shunned all those, left everything, reduced all that luggage and came with a suitcase and here and settled down. If you see in his cupboard when on his birthday or something, we take some new clothes and say, already I have some 6-7 pairs, what do you want? And that the 7th pair comes in, the 6th pair goes out to someone. Next day you will find some dhobi wearing it and walking around and things like that. He was very clear on his, you know, he has no extra luggage for him. And there's nothing, probably he lived with his books and, you know, his thoughts. Those are the things which he lived with. And that way he had lived a very ascetic life, I would say.
Absolutely.
I mean, I give that credit to all the, you know, indwellers of Prashantinilayam. All of them live such beautiful ascetic life. Live with, I know Swami always said, you know, simple living, high thinking, and that's true to all the members, including my father.
So those are few interesting instances, and even if you give an extra pair of clothes to Raman Rao, more than 6, he says, you know, next day you will find some washerman or some tailor or some worker in the ashram wearing that dress, you know. Simple living, high thinking, ceiling on desires, and always think about the other. I mean, this is what made Raman Rao sir that exemplary servitor of Bhagwan. And Swami in his own way took care of the family, and which Swami will anyway do, we know that. And more you learn to give yourself to Bhagwan, more and more you realize how much He gives Himself to each member of your family. You do one thing for Him and He will go out and sort 10 things and more in your life. It's just that we have to have that faith. We have to take that leap of trust in Him. And then see how life becomes so beautiful. Even now, you find so many devotees like Mr. Raman Rao, you know, they give up everything and stay in the ashram, in a absolutely small room inside the ashram, and they are so happy. Swami ensures that through our love for Him, translates into less desires. Our love for Him translates into service for others. Our love for Him translates into our sacrifice of our lower tendencies. Our love for Him translates into our spiritual evolution. And Mr. Raman Rao, in his book, in the final chapter, say, if there is any incarnation in human history who was worshipped as God Himself by the millions during His own lifetime from the four corners of the world, cutting across all barriers of color, caste, creed, religion, and if there is only one whose exhortations of universality and harmony of all religions and His profound teachings and His miraculous deeds and His services to humanity bound the whole world into one, then it is only Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. No other avatar as Bhagwan was found to be so easily accessible to a common man. This is what Mr. Raman Rao sir writes in the final pages of his book, Nectar of Love. He says there has not been any avatar as Bhagwan who has brought about spiritual awakening and moral revolution with His infinite love by indoctrinating the people at large with His mellifluous slogan, love all, serve all, and demonstrating to the world what love all and serve all means. Unlike any other past avatar, Bhagwan with His indefatigable energy gave His divine discourses, gave Himself to the downtrodden, and lived every moment to grant joy through darshan, sparshan, sambhashan, and installed Himself in the hearts of millions so that their lives would become beautiful through selfless service, through pure love. And Mr. Raman Rao sir says, unlike any other avatar, Bhagwan's life is intertwined with experiences of lakhs of lives of people for whom He provided succor and enlightenment. And it will not be possible even for 1,000 Vyasas and 1,000 Valmikis to record the divine life story of Bhagwan. And so true it is, can we ever record the glory of Bhagwan? Because in every heart there is a Ramayana, in every heart there is a story which is so unique and so filled with divine touch and divine transformation. There is no glory greater than His story, and there is no story greater than His glory. That is how it is to become a part of His story. And Mr. Raman Rao sir says that it is the journey of every Sai devotee. It is the journey of everyone who came to the Lord. The Lord first comes into your lives. He overwhelms you by attracting you with His divine aura, divine power, divine wisdom and limitless love. But after that, He makes each one of us feel that there is nothing more to life then to become dear to Him. And once this realization happens, then Swami slowly and slowly, assiduously, He casts off us, seemingly, just like a mother bird casts off its body when it develops wings. And that is when Swami puts everyone through a little test, through a little grind, so that people drop off everything in their personality that is not necessarily part of them and retains only that which will remain with them and which will give them lasting happiness. So He keeps different people now closer to Him so that these people who have been given the initial indoctrination now go through the purification process, and once they are clean, He draws them closer, 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 makes them channels of His love, fills them with love more and more and more. And now that light that was in you, now you become part of the light, and one day you become the light. Swami says, do not limit me to this body. Realize the all-pervading infinite divinity. Believe me to be the dweller in your heart, and the dweller in every speck of creation. And that is the journey of every Sai devotee, and that is the moving journey of every soul as we move to Him. And that is the beautiful journey of Mr. Raman Rao sir, to someone who came to Swami attracted by His service, by His power, by His love, and then allowed His love to seep into Him seamlessly to such an extent that every pore of His being now reverberated, saying, I love Swami and so I will serve, I will serve, I will serve till my last breath, and there is nothing more to me. My life has service first, Swami first, and there is nothing else, nothing next. Swami first, service first. That is the life of Mr. Raman Rao. Dear listeners, it was a joy offering this series on Mr. Raman Rao. I know there are so many more stories which probably I have not been able to cover as we are talking about his life, but I hope that we are able to at least get some glimpses of his life which will help us in our spiritual journey. In the coming episodes of Beacons of Prashantanam, we will continue this series to talk about many such enlightened souls, many such souls who came to Swami and allowed His love to fill their being and one day became one with Him, only walking on the path laid down by Him. Thank you so much for being with us through this journey. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. With a heart full of gratitude and love, I offer this endeavor at His lotus feet and pray that He guides us further in this journey of unraveling beautiful souls who could guide us on this journey of one day becoming one with Him. Thank you so much. Sayonara.